you mean standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now in your presence again at this time, reading of thy word, Lord, and the study of the same. Talk about those things, Lord, which you know assuredly are already here in our midst, but not yet manifested in their fullness. And help us, Lord, to get an eye single to thee by means of the revealed word. And help our lives also, God, to measure up where we ought to be in this day. Preparing us, Lord, for that great advent when you become all in all within your church. Lord, may we not miss that. May we be standing here at that time. What a privilege would be. Quicken us, O God. Help us in this end time when so many things would stand in our way, when materialism is rampant in the land, and everything, Lord, seems so conducive to straying away to materiality as it has done in so many other ages, only to bring destruction. Help us, O God, we pray, and hide us in the cleft of the rock, identifying ourselves fully with you. Now, Lord, we pray that every word shall be exactly right. May it not only be word by word, but may it also be by the Spirit who gives the word, so the understanding of it may be presented to us all. We may hear it and understand and believe it. Grant, Lord, now that we may have the desires of our heart, because we ask this according to your word. And you said if we ask according to your word, you'd hear us. You'd be there for you heard us and given us our heart's desire. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this last Wednesday and this morning, we were studying along lines of the fact that in the end time, the two spirits would be so close together that men would not be able to recognize unrighteousness from righteousness, not because that they're so blind and callous that they can't see the disparity, but the fact is that they're so close that the people are confused into believing that they're righteous before the Lord, and they're not. Now, I'm going to continue the subject tonight from a different point of view in the mystery of iniquity. Now, this was not one that was in the Saskatchewan meeting, but because it goes along with the messages of the last two services, I thought it might be wise to bring it to your attention to show you even more closely exactly where we stand and how this is working out to the Christian church. Now, of course, I use that word as it's used in the church age book, because the people claim to be Christians, then God says, all right, I'll take your claim. Then you'll have to answer. Now, you see, if they hadn't the claim, then they would be in a better position. You say, why? I read it to you this morning. He said, if you hadn't said, you see, then you wouldn't have had any sin. But now you say, we see, your sin remaineth. So therefore, God will judge the church. This is exactly true, because under the sixth seal, the earth is purged, the church is purged, and Israel is purged, but the bride is in the palace. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and in verse 7, we have just the one verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Now, in this day, man is so engrossed with creation, that nature and the earth and everything that's in it, with the material part of the earth, because of what he can do with it and get out of it, that he's lost all sense and sight of reality. And because of his scientific prowess, he's living in a dream world with impending judgment hanging on him. Now, it's a dream world because I think we're well aware of the fact that the majority of people know that something terrible is about to happen, but like men in a nightmare, they can't stop it. It still vividly goes on. But the judgment is impending. Now, this is not an original sin of the 20th century. By any stretch of the imagination, it cannot be deemed as such. Now, this is that same sin that brought the flood in upon the world and is about to bring about certain destruction, because the word of the Lord tells us that there will be a destruction again, but not by water. Now, you can see this spiritual picture if you turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter, beginning at verse 15. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasoning. The word imagination is reasoning. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now notice, the heart became darkened after the mind gave way. See, to wrong thinking. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now Paul is telling the heathen at Rome that they need a true revelation of God, because their revelation is missing. You can see that here in the 15th verse, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also." Now, if he's going to preach the gospel to them, it is necessary that they have it preached, because they have not had it previously preached. They do not know the truth. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it and it alone is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Why? Because herein, and only here, no other place, but in the revealed word is given to Paul, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In other words, people act on that revelation, receiving it. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There is no eternal life outside of the realm of faith which comes by a revelation. And Paul wishes to come to impart that revelation, because Rome does not have it, and consequently they are void of eternal life, even though they may think that they have it. Now you've got the very same thing in the Laodicean church age. You can turn over here if you like, and we just refresh our memories, because you can never read some of the passages in Scripture too often. John speaking here by the Holy Ghost, if Jesus says, "So then to this Laodicean church age, I know your works," and he mentions that he is a true witness. He mentions that he is a true witness. Evidently, they don't have it, and he wants to reveal himself as such. He knows their works, and he's a hot or cold. And then he says in verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Absolutely bereft of everything that you need to have to commend you to God, which is given through the grace of God, they have none of it, and yet boasted that they have. See? Now, this age then needs a revelation of God. And if the revelation is missing, then the righteousness of God is not in the people as they claim it is. Now, these are hard, flat, blunt statements. And they'd go over like a lead balloon in any place but a church like this who believes in the Word. See? Now, let's go to Galatians, the first chapter, for just a second, and see what Paul has to say about this revelation. Verses 6 to 14. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now notice, he places the gospel and the person together, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and that pervert the gospel of Christ." We dealt with that this morning. "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than you have received, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion in past time, in the Jews' religion," he left his own thinking in the former religion, "how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now, Christ revealed himself to him, and he was very zealous concerning his traditions. And remember, at the time that Paul had his traditions, it was at that age that they were doing the very best they could, and as the people of natural election under God, they had the only thing that God had any respect to on the ground that even though they were wrong, he still came to them. Didn't go any place else. He went to them. And though they were a million miles away from the truth, he still came to them. See? So they could be speaking all they wanted, and as far as their age had been concerned, they had a certain amount of truth, but they had fallen from it. And now, Christ himself appeared, and then as the messenger to Paul, to give him the revelation. And the same thing occurs in this age, that Christ by the Holy Spirit must also reveal himself to the people, because at the end time, the last vestige of Christianity is absolutely as corrupt as the last vestige of the religion of the Jews. See? But God respects only Christianity. He will not go to the Muslims. He will not go to the Hindus. He will not go anywhere but to Christianity, as bankrupt as it is, because they alone have the last vestige of it. Now, the whole thing's bankrupt, just as Paul preached here to the Romans. So it is we see that we need a revelation at this time, and God, of course, is giving us that same revelation that we need. Now, let's continue our thought. You'll notice here that the revealed word reveals the very righteousness of God. We go back here to the book of Romans again, the first chapter. Now we look at it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is? The gospel, which Jesus himself gave to Paul, which is the word of Almighty God, from God to man. He said, here in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, what is that righteousness of God? We go to 1 Corinthians 1:30, and it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See? Now, reading again. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. That's in the body of Christ, in that bride, in that true church. Now this Jesus, who of God is made unto us. See, he is made unto us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. With that, we go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 21. And he said, but he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be made sin for us, hath asked you to call a sin offering. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is no way to apprehend, or in other words, to utilize, to make use of, to gain the righteousness which we must have except through this revealed word. Now let's go back to Romans again, the first chapter. You see here in verses 17 and 18, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now watch. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what? Here we find in these verses, 17 and 18, that both speak of a type of righteousness. That may sound strange, but you just watch. In that 17th verse, it says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. He says here, from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. Now, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now see, you have one group that's going by a true revelation of God on the Word, and they are perfectly secure, and their righteousness is absolutely one with Christ, because he is righteous. On the other hand, you have these other people who hold the truth in unrighteousness, and this is what they depend upon for their righteousness. Now you see, I don't see it there. You wait a while and you will. One righteousness is of God. The other righteousness is the righteousness of man that God calls unrighteousness, and both are explained. God's righteousness is a true revelation of himself to us, the revealed word. The other comes from holding the truth in unrighteousness. See? Now, what does that expression mean, holding the truth in unrighteousness? This is the refusal of the truth and the repression of the revelation. Now just let that sink in. God calls it unrighteousness, the unrighteousness of man. When he has the chance to receive the true revelation, and you cannot be received of God, nor can you receive God apart from the true revelation, as we showed you, otherwise your faith is absolutely vain. It will not do you any good. Got to get right to the truth. Now what happens? It says that these same people, the opposite camp, when the word comes to them, they refuse the truth and they repress the revelation. Why? Because they want their own ways to worship and to serve God, and they go about doing their own will. Now, you'll notice we're right back where this morning. You don't have a bunch of filthy, unclean people necessarily handling the word, although that's possible. You see a lot of that. But speaking in general, we're still talking about those things in the church that deal with morals and a fine way of life and attempt to serve God in that particular area. But what they're doing is refusing the revealed word. See? And then they go about to serve God by repressing the truth. See? A repression of it. And also to repress those who have the truth. Now, this is none other than perversion. The very thing we said this morning in 1 John 3, let's go back and look at it again. the epistle, the third chapter. He said here in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. And then it says in verse 10, and this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one that slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now what was Abel's righteous work? It was the rightly divided word and the presentation of the right offering before Almighty God. What was Cain's wrong work? It was the presentation of a right offering in the wrong place. He refused to apply the shed blood, and yet he offered the offering of the first fruit. And he was identifying himself with the resurrection when he wouldn't take the way of the resurrection, which was the right division of the word. He wanted it without going the way of the truth. Now you see here what happened. Cain was holding the truth in unrighteousness. And he repressed it by killing his brother. You follow? It's exactly what the Bible teaches. He held the truth in unrighteousness. He would not accept the revelation, but he went on handling and misdividing the word and attempting to worship God anyway. Now you begin to see the Antichrist system? See your two spirits so close? Now let's reread back here in Romans 1:17-18. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Wherein where? The gospel given by divine revelation, so that not one word can be added to it or taken from it. Paul said, if I or anybody else come and take this word, change it one iota, he said, let him and me be accursed. Now listen, the only place you can find the original cursing was the serpent and Cain. Now remember, the serpent was cursed physically, reduced to a slithering snake. But Cain went on being an upright creature, but cursed from the presence of Almighty God and marked. There's your old Antichrist marked. Started right back there, just outside the garden, and it's going on right today. Now, for the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all ungodliness, see, even the unrighteousness of men, coming into condemnation and being judged for it. But remember, when you come up in the white throne judgment, they without the gospel will be judged without the gospel. But these men are judged as though they were part of it. See, they came right up to the light, saw it, and refused it. Now, let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and see it. Because here it is. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You go and tell them that. They say, what do you mean I don't know God? It's you bunch of stupid so-called Christians that don't know God. You can't chop our God in three pieces and give him back to us. They'll tell you right quick what they think. Pretty good thinking, too. They may be ignorant of God, but they're not stupid. They've got a zeal, but there's no revelation. Now listen, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves under the righteousness which is of God. And this is exactly where Cain stood. And this is where everybody stands that's going to come into judgment and be condemned for it. Because they came right up to the revelation, the demonstration of truth, and walked right away from it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Believeth what? The truth. Not what somebody says about the word, but what the truth really says about itself. In other words, it can bring itself into manifestation for the day in which it is. And when you turn down that, which that living word, bringing itself into manifestation as the word of the hour, and you turn it down when you had your chance, and you still go on to serve God, then you are right in this place the Bible talks of. See? Now, for the righteousness, no, for Moses describes the righteousness, which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on in this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's to bring Christ down above. You know that was the silliest thing in the world to tell a Jew? Questions, 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 questions. Or who shall descend to thee? That's to bring Christ again to the dead. They say, well, if God came down and died, then who's going to raise God? They say, ha ha, what a big joke that is. See? What is it? Question. Now watch. Faith doesn't ask questions. Faith believes. See? Now, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, Paul speaking. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now you notice, you believe unto righteousness, and righteousness is the end product of faith, and faith is the end product of a revelation. Turn down the revelation, where do you stand? Outside of Christ. See, what revelation? The revelation, the word of the hour, see? That which God brings into view, because the word will bring itself to pass. It's just like sowing a seed. You don't have to dig the seed up and see all about it. The life within the seed will bring it to pass. So will the word of God bring itself to pass because that word is God. Now, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, notice, and we mentioned here in verses 8 and 9, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But notice, this is a revelation, because in the days of Paul, they perverted the word, and Paul was able to tell where the perversion lay, because in him was the seed, or in him was the power to give forth the revealed word. Now, notice in verse 11, it said, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And there you have the word of God is saying it, and the word of God is bringing into effect what you will believe in order that you won't be ashamed. The workman, you see, that needeth not to be ashamed. See, it's all in there, and we have it revealed. Let's go to John 7. 38 verse, John 7. "Now, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, the Bible doesn't say he that believeth on me is going to have a Holy Ghost experience. It says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. But what have the Scripture said? Because men can argue them. It's just what I said a while ago. It's the Word that comes into manifestation, because the Word is fulfilling itself in the hour in which we live. Also in John, the 8th chapter, 37 to a little further on. "I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Now what word? Jesus was duty-bound not to go outside of the Old Testament, because that was the word. He couldn't go outside of it, because that's the word. You go to Revelation, and every seed was sown. And if you get outside of the book of Revelation, you'd be a million miles off. He went right back as the seed of the woman and brought it right up before them, and they said, "Kill him." Now, he didn't say anything else but what I just said here. He said, "Why do you seek to kill me? Because my word has no place in you." And that word was the word which they knew. For he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me." Now, what was it? They missed the revelation. And missing the revelation, they went about to establish their own righteousness, as Paul said, and they're dead right today. See? Now, we haven't got any word, brother, sister, at this end time that William Branham brought. He did not bring one word. He already had it all here. It was all here. For him to add one word would have made him a liar and a fraud. See, you can't add one word and you can't take away. But what is it? It's the revelation, the word of the hour. And Israel turned it down. He said, "My word has no place in you." You say, "Well, I believe it does have place." You're wrong. The word of God is the undefiled, revealed word of what he means when he said it. And there's no man living can know exactly what I'm saying, even at this moment, unless you're right in my mind and in me to know exactly what I'm saying, because you've got to interpret it the way you think you hear it according to your own experience. That's why it takes the Holy Ghost of Almighty God to indwell you to know what Jesus Christ said. Even old George Fox knew that. He said the reason that people didn't understand Moses in his day is because they didn't have the same spirit in him. See? My word is no place in you. He said right there, that makes a difference. That brands them. Now I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Two camps. Cain and Abel. Say what you want, Cain and Abel. You can't miss it. The answer said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Now he's telling him right there. He said, would Abraham have risen up to kill the very messenger that brought the truth? Would he have risen up to destroy somebody? Why, he said, as Abraham understood me when I was back in that theophany, he said, if you had what Abraham had, you'd recognize the revealed word in your day, the word made flesh. But he said, you do the deeds of your father. And who was their father? Cain was their father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. They knew the serpent seed doctrine 100%, because they knew there was a race born of fornication and a race that wasn't born of fornication. Because remember, Ishmael was not born of fornication. Abraham had a legal right to that woman under polygamy. See? We have one father, even God. Tracing it back to God. You can go back as far as Abraham, you go right back to God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Hearing the word of God is understanding the word of God. You see, I hear the word of God, then you understand it.
Now, what's all this talk about see, Brother Branham supposed to have said? You don't have to understand it, only believe it. The point is, he's telling you, if you don't understand it, believe it till you do. Check the rest of his tapes. Now, you evidently have, because you said amen, or you'd be a liar if you said otherwise. Okay. You are of your father the devil, and the pleasures of your father you'll do. He was a murderer in the beginning. The devil never murdered anybody in the beginning. Cain did. Then he lied about it. The first murder and liar was Cain, because he lied about his brother. God said, where is your brother? He said, I don't know. What am I supposed to know about him? Lead him by the hand? He murdered and lied about it. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, which of you can confute me? Stand up now and tell me where I'm off this word one iota. And not one could do it. He said they went behind his back and attempted a murder, which they finally carried out. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Oh, isn't that the same thing John said? He that hears me is of God, and he that doesn't hear me is not. Every church age messenger had the very same testimony. He stood up and knew that the rest were not of God, blasted out against that generation, and stood there in the gap. You show me a church age messenger that didn't do it. In fact, you show me a preacher that doesn't do it. They blast out against what's against the Word of God. That is the true man of God. And of course, he blasts with the wrong crew, then he's just one of them. Now he said, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, see what Israel did there in Jesus' day. They were just like Cain, they were dead. So is there death to all who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, when the truth of God is presented, they still stay with their creeds and their dogmas, their old dead man. See? In other words, they're trying to judge by a former day when the Word of God came to them. That word that they have is now perverted. Now, this is exactly what we saw in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 9 and then verse 17. The Lord God made, out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But notice that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, for in the day thou eatest of dying, thou shalt surely die. The perversion. They went to the perversion. They would not hold to the truth. Eve would not stay with the word, and so they all fell. Now what? Brother Branham said in the greatest battle of thought, I think it's in page 21, a man cannot sin until he first casts aside God's word. Exactly what she did. Now then, what was that tree? Well, you can see if you want to bring it down to a type, it was definitely the perversion of the word of God. Now, how was this done originally? It was done by sidestepping the word. Now, you'll find that actually in the Greek. This is exactly what Paul is trying to tell us. Disbelieve one word, misplace or misrepresent it, or misapply it, it spells unrighteousness. See? That's what it does. Notice over here in Romans again, that first chapter. Pardon me, 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, it says here that they knew better than to do this thing which they were doing. See? Now, isn't that exactly as it was with Cain? He knew better. Because it was absolutely laid out before him, and he still persisted in the mishandling of the revealed Word of God. Because remember, the pillar of fire must of necessity have taken up the offering that Abel laid out. Because that's how God did. He had to have a fire for the offering. You didn't just kill the lamb, you burned it. See? Now the offering, no doubt, was consumed by the pillar of fire coming down, as it did in Abraham's day and also in Elijah's day. See? Now notice also, he says here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse. Now, see, listen. How can God condemn anybody until first of all the light's been manifested? Can't do it. You realize how close you are to that today? There's a brother who wrote Brother Branham some long time back. He read it and closed a $1,500 check. And Brother Branham got on the phone immediately. He said, "Brother, why was this $1,500 check given to me?" "Well," he said, "Brother Branham, I didn't understand tithing all these years. At least the time I've known the message." And he said, "Therefore, I figured up I owe tithes on $15,000. I'm sending you $1,500. Brother Branham said to the man, he said, "Sir, as long as you were in darkness," he said, "you had hope you were forgiven. So therefore, I'm sending it back to you, but from now on you pay tithes." See, when you have a confrontation with reality and then you turn it down, that's what we're talking about in this day. See? And this is where God gives himself the privilege of destruction. Otherwise, they'll come up in the white throne judgment, and there they're judged only according to what they saw. Now, these people knew it took a revelation from God, and they knew how God gave his revelation by his word. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Now, I know this is, you'll think, well, this is over here in the time of Israel, but listen, God never did change his way. I'll prove it to you. Revelation 18. It says here in verse 20, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not to come to pass, that's the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet spoke to something, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Now God's always given his word by a manifested prophet. Now listen, it says in the book of Acts, concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ, that it says that the heavens must retain him till the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. So you got it right there. God has never, ever changed his way of bringing his word. There's always been a way that God showed exactly what the truth was. It's manifested and perfectly so that if you walk up to that truth and turn your back, there is nothing but judgment faces you. You know it, see? Absolutely right. Now, they knew there was a God because nature proves it. But wisdom derived from nature won't bring a revelation to God. It takes the prophet. Romans, the 21st verse now. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." See? How many people? Now watch this. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." What's the case of Cain? He knew God. Absolutely. But he would not glorify God. In other words, he would not worship according to truth, which is the revealed word. He said, "No, I won't do it." Now, what if somebody worships outside the revealed word for this day? Absolutely backs away from it and won't do it when he's come up against it. Okay? Now, let's keep watching this verse. "Neither were thankful." In other words, they were not thankful that God brought the revelation. Instead, they became very unthankful because they wanted their own way, their own creed, their own dogmas, their own organization, their own understanding. So they not only pussyfooted about the revelation, they left it. They weren't thankful. And what happened? They became vain in their reasoning. In other words, there was no Holy Ghost revelation anymore in the camp, but now it was reasoning, reasoning, reasoning. In other words, pitting their intelligence against the truth. What happened? The foolish heart became darkened. They got the heart of a fool. And the heart of a fool says there's no God. In other words, they were better off if they had no concept of religion at all. Better to have simply said, "No God." Because God classed them such, professing themselves to be wise, professing in themselves to have a revelation, which they could not back up and prove, they became fools. And from that point, they went on downward. Notice this is exactly what happened to Cain. Very same thing. And that's what Jesus said about those Jews at that day. And Brother Branham said the church would be in the same position as just taken over by the devil just the way he took over those Jews. Now, but by the time of the flood, through scientific reasoning, they had a new kind of a God. You know what he was? He was the God of their imagination, not the God of the Word. And that's exactly what Paul said was going to happen. They would change the truth of God into a lie. How fascinating. Some people made men into God.
Sure.
Or they became pantheists and so on. But as long as you worship some kind of a God, you were accepted by the crowd. Same thing going on today. This brought on the depravity of immorality, murder, and anarchy until God destroyed them. Let's look at it. What does it say in verse 24? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the pleasures, the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. They served themselves. Served mankind. Who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave up to vile affection, and so on. And you can see what happened. God absolutely had to destroy them, and you've got the same thing today from the same seed. When you come against such a violent revelation as we had in this day, when the demonstration, which was vindication of the right of the prophet to speak, being so tremendous, what could you possibly have but God overthrowing this generation? It couldn't be otherwise. But before the flood, you notice that God sent a prophet. Sent Enoch to warn them. And he did. But they wouldn't listen. Notice what came next. God revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Israel, and he gave them the national revelation itself to Moses. God... revealed himself nationally to Israel. What did Israel do? They sent a Baal Peor, fornication, organization, mixing themselves with creeds and dogmas. In other words, what they did, remember that the Midianites, Moab and the rest, were worshippers of God through the daughters of Lot. See? And Balaam was truly a prophet. But they weren't one with the Word. Now what happened? Israel joins them, and God never forgave them, but they died like flies in their fornication. Then what happened? Korah and Dathan and Abiram left the Word for gifts. Israel left the Word for miracles. And at Kadesh Barnea, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 3, the third chapter, and the seventh verse, exactly what happened. We're going through the same thing now. Hebrews, the third chapter. Paul speaking, wherefore is the Holy Ghost set today if you will hear his voice? Notice, if you hear his voice. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And you know what this provocation was? They provoked God. They refused to take the signs that God gave them and said, Moses, give us our own signs and we'll believe you. They said it to Israel and they said it today. They wouldn't stand back and see what they had. Show me a sign greater than this. Bring me 24 of your worst cases and I guarantee healing. What time did thus saith the Lord ever fail? Notice what God said in verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. What's the way of God? Fulfilling his word, and you're to believe and stay with it. When you believe the fulfilled word, then you're one with him. See, so I swear in my wrath, God angry, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Leaving God when he's revealed to you. But exhort one of the deity while it's called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin. There you are again. All deceivableness of unrighteousness, going on to worship God anyway, when you've been brought face to face with the revelation of the true God. You're absolutely antichrist. See? For we are made fellows of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all, that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned? See, that sinned, what was their sin? Refusing the word that Moses taught. And their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And to whom sware he that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see, now listen, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Not the sacrifice, there was plenty of sacrifice. The blood of Christ could save every single person from sin in this world, and the life of Christ could more than endue every single unbeliever until no one lacked eternal life. What stops him? You won't believe. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How many people believe that Brother Branham was Elijah for this day? Oh, hardly a handful. And in spite of the fact they've got every Bible evidence to prove that every man that God sent on the scene had to identify himself. And they forget that Jesus Christ was crucified because he identified himself. John the Baptist sent on because he identified himself. Moses was run out by Jezebel because he identified himself. And when a man comes along and can prove by the Word of God, by authentication, vindication, and thereby identify himself, how can a man turn him down? Why, you can go to a store, and all you got to do is drag out your credit card and show who you are. They'll say, goody, 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 write up $1 million about. But these people, they walk right into eternal life. Hard to understand. They died. But God sent them a messenger again. Now listen. Before he revealed himself in human form. Now watch. For had he not done so, he would have had to destroy all for any lack of righteousness. That's right. When Jesus Christ was about to be filled with the Holy Ghost, God filling his temple, if John the Baptist had not been there, that Spirit coming down as a dove would have had to destroy every single person. Just like it says in Malachi. Let's go back and look at it. The book of Luke, first chapter, 13 to 17. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, when every single one was turned away from God. Right. And he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, see, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, what is this disobedience? Disobedience is not the willful rejecting of a command, but it's even to walk in error because you don't understand. How many understood the word in the days of John? Nobody. They'd all been turned away from God. What did John come to do? He came to bring understanding, and the only way he could was by identifying himself. And the Bible says he turned many. In other words, he turned the elect. And when he did, by the word, they were turned back to God. This is why when God came as a pillar of fire, he could not destroy but would have destroyed. See, even at the very first advent, it would have occurred. Now, this is no idle assumption. Let's turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter again, and just find out. Looking at the 18th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness, and there was nobody there with the revelation. Then this is not the judgment of God, the wrath, but it's the personal emotion of God. God angered, God disgusted, God fed up. And he's fed up tonight, I'm going to vomit you. Chew you out of my mouth. The fed up God. And if the fed up God ever came on the scene, without some preface, he would destroy or pervert it. What about the day he said, I'm going to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham said, Lord, peradventure, if you be there, would you destroy it? He said, well, certainly not. He said, Lord, he said, would you be that? If I said 40, he said, no, I'll say for 40. He got down to 10. He said, well, he said, just one more time. He said, please don't feed that, let them button in. But he said, if I could find 10, he said, would you destroy? He said, certainly not. He said, absolutely no, I wouldn't destroy for 10. No, no, no. What happened when Lot left with the two daughters and the wife, for she died in the way, the fire fell? You get God on the scene without a forerunner, and there's nothing but death and destruction. There it is. You still don't believe it? Let's go back to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Who is that? John the Baptist. Read the rest. Lest I come and smite utterly the earth, because there's nobody there who has the truth. Now, what about Laodicea? See? Now, but after Pentecost, the same thing happened to the church as happened in Eden. As I read this morning in Acts 20 and 30, men rose up and they turned away from God. How? By perverting the word. John saw the same thing in the book of Revelation that Paul saw in the 6th chapter and in verse 2. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, no arrows, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer, the Antichrist imitating the Spirit of Christ. A religious order set up, mouthing and parroting the Word of God, but no revelation. Antichrist. Paul gave us the exact account over here in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in your mind to be troubled, and neither by spirit nor by word, letter as from us, as that day of Christ at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except become a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, he's right in there interpreting the word, forgiving sins, and he's just taking the place of the word. He's infallible. You listen to him. If you want something and you can go to him and change his mind, he'll say, all right, we'll fix that up for you too. See? Remember not when I was with you, yet I told you these things. What did he tell him? He told men were going to rise up and pervert the word till the whole thing was perverted, and this thing took over the whole world, just like Jesus said, was going to run it all in a system of religion, talking about God, worshiping God. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let to be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the blackness of his coming. In other words, it's going to be absolutely a complete takeover of Christianity. See? Now remember, as we said before, there has got to be a forerunner. Where's your forerunner? It tells you right here. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God sending the truth, the absolute revealed word of God, in order that he may be just when he comes personally to absolutely destroy those who held the truth in unrighteousness, who refused the revelation and suppressed it. Where are your preachers today that say they believe God? What about that vision Brother Branham had? After you had the little vision of those two little kids in that little car, great big crowd, and the preacher dismissed the meeting. He began crying, and the angel appeared and said, what are you crying about? You're not even Jesus. You're just a prophet. If our Lord was only left with 12 and they didn't turn out so good for a while, what are you crying about? You only got a handful. See? Refusing the truth and suppressing it. And you know something? We haven't begun to see anything yet as to what they will do. Jesus said it would be that way in Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord. Don't think you won't be saying it. Hallelujah, Lord, love you. Miracles in Jesus' name. The worship of God doesn't guarantee anything. Miracles won't guarantee anything. See, what is it? You've got to be of that tree. The good tree with the good fruit. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, for many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? But just then he told them to prophesy. Then if they prophesied, and he told them to prophesy, is not that the will of God? No, because they did it in the wrong place. In the wrong time. In my name, they cast the devil. Didn't he tell them to do it? Well, why isn't that the will of God? Because they went around casting out devils indiscriminately. They weren't under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And in thy name done wonderful things. Aren't we to do great things in his name? He said, greater works than these shall you do. Then what is he talking about? Because they're outside of the revealed word. They're looking just like they're genuine, but when you give them the word test, they are not living in the revealed word of the hour. Why? Because this is a judgment period. This is a juncture time, as Brother Branham called it. The flashing red light of warning. See? Now, let's take a good look at that word unrighteousness. That is what is unrighteousness, the same thing that man calls his righteousness. What is it? It's the heart of the mystery of iniquity. The heart of the mystery of iniquity is what man calls righteous and God calls unrighteous. So therefore we have the unrighteous worshiping God through their creeds and dogmas inspired by the Antichrist system. And God turns their worship down. It's the refusal of true worship by the word of the living God. Men and women literally ending up humbling themselves to the worship system, humbling themselves to the Antichrist in whom dwells the devil, and yet they claim their worship in God. Now look. Just look around you now. You show me any church but those that are trying to stand with this word who are not already in the Antichrist system. Now go ahead. If I've preached you the truth in three sermons, which will take roughly five hours of preaching, you find me one place that you can contradict me. You can't do it. You can't do it because it's all laid out here, A, B, C, as clear as crystal. These men and women worshiping God, claiming to do God a service, claiming to be God's own sheep, but the true revelation of the word is missing. Let's go back to Romans 1:25. Notice. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Wrong translation. Cross it out of your Bible. They changed the true God into a lie. Christ the Word perverted to the lie of the devil. Exactly what Brother Branham said. And they worshiped and served creation. Creatures. It became a creature religion instead of the true worship of Almighty God. Ask them who Elohim is. They don't know. Ask them who Jehovah is. They don't know. Ask them who Jesus is. They don't know. How can they know? Because every messenger of every age received a revelation of God. That became the word of the hour. And the rest of those verses deal with the historical aspects of the church, so you know the hour in which you live. The revelation is missing. Look what it says again, just keeping that in mind. They changed the true God into a lie. The Word, see? Going back to 2 Thessalonians again. Second chapter. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalts himself all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, a liar. An absolute liar, who is the head of the organized creed and dogma system that is supposed to be honoring and serving God himself. They have changed the true God into a lie, and the lie has been insinuated into a personification, a person that sits in the temple. He's been sitting there for years. Of course, the Pope will finally take over. They can do everything but stay with the Word. I don't care what any righteous person does, any true believer. I don't care what the prophet did. They'll impersonate the whole thing. They say they are in the Word, but like Cain, they act just like Israel. Like Cain and Israel, they just act the same thing out. They preach and teach and carry out the commandments in their own way. But they can't go word by word with the revelation, as it says in Isaiah chapter 28. Let's look at it. Now, for all verse 8, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. Not one church. Not one word that's not been messed up. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You've got to get past Pentecost. The restoration of gifts won't bring it. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Well, look, how in the world are you ever going to know the Word of God except you go to the Word and get a revelation? You're not going to get it by signs and wonders and miracles. That's just to hold you to see where it goes. See? See if it goes to the Word, like the prophet did. And line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That's exactly what happens, because the Word of the Lord comes that way, and they turn it down and they're snared. And they're taken and they're broken. That's exactly how it happens. All right, listen. Wasn't that what happened to Cain? Tell me, was it? Don't think it won't happen again. You find one place in the Bible where this didn't happen. And this is your trail of the serpent. The whole thing just is like a billboard 14 feet high. It's your worship. Now, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, that rule this people which is Jerusalem, not heavenly, but earthly, according to Galatians, where you get your allegory. Because you've said we made a covenant with death, and with hell the grave are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall come, it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under faults have we hid ourselves. You mean to tell me that those people that stood before Brother Branham didn't know more than they let on? Come on. If the devil himself can come face to face with God and realize it, don't tell me a creation can't come face to face with reality and not know it. Don't tell me they didn't know it, but they were scared stiff by the hierarchy and the system and the Trinitarian club that kept knocking the woman down. See, certainly. Now, therefore, saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, that's New Jerusalem, that one, a foundation stone, a tried stone, the Word of God. You know that foundation stone? It's the Word. A tried stone, you show one word that didn't come to pass. A precious cornerstone. You show me anything else could fit in that corner but the Word of God. You try to build any building outside the Word of God, it'll go all askew and skewed to you. It won't work. A sure foundation. They turn it down. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Now where is his righteousness? The plummet is the Word of God. See? It can't be a true dogma, because your faith won't hold otherwise. Because by grace are you saved through faith, and faith is a revelation, the Word of God revealed. Now then, where's your salvation? Sacrifice won't avail you. Works will not avail you. Nothing will avail you. It's believe this Word and go from there. The people are turning this Word down, still trying to get there. It will not work. Your covenant with death will be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, you're going to be trodden down in the great tribulation. For the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. My Lord, you got right in your day to day. The more you talk about, the madder and meaner people get. See? Now, what is it that has gotten into the church? Now, what is it that's gotten to the church? I'll tell you. It's iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, where God planted mustard seed that covered the whole earth, and every filthy bird came and lodged in it. God planted good seed, and the enemy sowed the tares. God had 3 measures of flour, and they hid the leaven in it. Yet every single one is called the kingdom of heaven. God ordained that man should worship him. That's why we know him as God. We don't know him as creator. That's just a minor thing. But in the revelation of God and the relationship to man, he is God to us, the object of worship. And he cannot receive any worship except in spirit and in truth. Then how can any man have the Holy Spirit if he's outside the truth? He can't do it. Now, God's chosen place of worship is Christ the Word. His name is only in one gate, only one message, no other. All else offends, and they are gathered and bound. But, beloved, we don't need to be in doubt about the end time, for we can be sure. Because God promises the very thing Brother Branham quoted thousands of times, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and in that way I won't come and smite out of the earth." The guarantee of God is to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers so that there will not be a curse. Now, who are the fathers? The prophets. What do the prophets bring? The Word. Now, I'm not just giving you my idea. Remember, it says in the book of Acts that restoration, he said that waiting for the times of restoration of all things which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets, what's restored? That which is spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. What did their mouth speak? The Word of God. And what's restored? The Word. How's it restored? The meaning is given. Why? Because men have departed from the original revelation and gone to the creed and the dogma. And when they're under perversion, see? They're being watered with the waters of perversion. They're being dressed in the robes of iniquity. They, having turned down God's righteousness, the revealed Word, bringing Christ into view and efficacy, they now establish their own righteousness, which is what? Unrighteousness before God. That's why the whole thing's iniquity. But he promised them, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, "And the restored cannot be lost." Again, it says in Revelation 10 and 7, "In the days of the voice of the last messenger, all the mysteries of God should be fulfilled." Elijah comes to sow the entire seed of the Bible. He said he would sow it from serpent seed to the prophet in the former rain. He reveals Luke 17, 13, "The Son of Man, the days come back to earth." The vindicated prophet came just like John. Luke 1 and 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to children." In this case, you may read it, "He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." in order to make ready the prepared people. A people prepared need to make ready. As we said a while ago, we were all one lump. Everyone was under condemnation. And as Abraham said, if I can find those 10, will you not save it all? And he said, find those 10. And had there been 10, it could have been saved. What's the number at the end time? Did I find more than 1 per million? I don't know. I know what the number is, but I'll tell you one thing, he's not confining. But there'll be an absolute revelation, as there was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, to the Gentiles, their Gentiles. There'll be this indisputable revelation. The Son of Man will be revealed in human flesh. And they'll turn down the manifestation, they'll turn down the revelation, they will turn down the word of Almighty God, and you know what? They will go on their way to establish their own, which will be a world system of the merging of the minds until they're absolutely judged iniquitous. And no matter what they can produce on that great judgment day, they will be lost from the presence of Almighty God. Now, how can the bride, therefore, have any righteousness but his own revealed righteousness, which is Christ? Malachi, that third chapter, we read the other night, 17 and 18. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, that's the rapture, and I'll spare them of his son, as a man spares his son that serves him. Okay, who's serving him? Who worships him? Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. How's he going to do it? The fourth verse, fourth chapter. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgments. What about Horeb? The word of God given the second time under Moses. That's the book of Deuteronomy is twice given. The word of God came the second time because men broke it. But now God in the period of judgment. See, he took them out of Egypt. He wanted to take them into the promised land. He did exactly what's being done through every juncture, and they turned it down. And now today, we are facing the last time the promise is given. The word has been left. Once more, will you come in to the Ark of Safety? Will you get ready for the millennium? Now comes Elijah, the prophet of the word of God. Myriads of signs and wonders. Indicating the word. Vindicated by ministry, authenticated by Almighty God. What do? They turn down the message which foreruns Jesus Christ. Now, where do we stand? We stand in the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men don't want it. What would happen if Brother Branham had gone to the Assemblies of God? Well, I'll tell you. They'd have said he's right because he says that we say. But what if he'd have said what they said? Then he'd have been wrong. Now, a prophet of God doesn't care what the other man says because he can't help what he says because the word of God is altogether in his tongue. The word of God burns. Now, you're not going to burn with one thing to spit out another. You can't do it. Because a prophet's tongue's not made that way. There never has been a prophet given that ever pleased the people. Jesus never pleased the people. But he said, you find me off that word. They couldn't do it. Now we've had the same thing right today. So what are they doing? They have turned from the righteousness of God and gone about to establish their own righteousness, which God calls unrighteousness, which is the mystery of iniquity. See? Because it's so close. And yet it's all that word. All right? Now you start going around some of the churches, you know. Go ahead. You tell me where they're off the word on Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb. You can hardly find any that are fundamental. They preach that word of God right down the line. They type it. They use shadows. They use every single word to show you. You show me one that doesn't know all the word here to show the man's a sinner. You show me one that doesn't know all the scripture to prove that Christ is Savior. You show me one that doesn't know how to lead you to Jesus Christ. You show me one that can't bring an altar call. You show me one that can't teach you the good way of life. You show me one that can't show you the way of living for Jesus Christ. There isn't one that can do it.
and you find the one. It says Elijah must come, because every table is full of honor. You show me the one that says, we don't know. Now, the very fact that they're organized makes you to know that they claim that they think they know, or claim that they know, even though they don't know. How close are they? Go to your Pentecost. You mean to tell me they're not getting healing? You think their little lady preachers, those that kick their shoes off and think barefoot's going to do it, and those that put on sackcloth and think that's going to do it, and those that tiptoe across the platform like some movie actress think that's going to do it? You tell me they're not genuine healing? And you tell me they're not genuinely exercised, my brother, my sister? Even Paul the Apostle was exercised to do the impossible thing, which was to give his life for the brethren. And these people are also exercised by the impossible thing. They want to see these folk in the kingdom. How can they be there when they're living a lie? Get how close are they? How close are they? Go ahead and look at them. Check out their works. Go ahead. You'll see beautiful, wonderful people just like these. They're not demented, devil-possessed, moronic individuals. Oh, how they criticized Pentecostals for years. And because we spoke in tongues, we were a bunch of morons. A bunch of stupid nincompoops. The all-scouring of the world. We didn't have the brains to blow our nose. Or coming out of the rain. Now everybody's talking in tongues. So they suddenly found out we weren't a bunch of nincompoops and morons. Now I want you to get this tonight. Neither are they, because they turned down this word, a bunch of nincompoops and morons. They are as fine as this word outside of a revelation can raise them. But they have missed the reality of eternal life. And there's your mystery of iniquity. It's not cursing, swearing, killing, marauding, robbing, raping. Not criminal. Those two spirits so close. But one and two men worshiping. And both right in that word. But one man would not divide the word according to the revelation of the hour. And his name was Cain. And God said, you're cursed. And the blood of Abel speaks of better things. See where we stand? Oh, my brother, sister, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, the mystery of iniquity right here. Worshiping God through creeds and dogmas. See? The devil's got him just where he wants him. Because remember, even the devil can't change, and he was the leader of the worship of God in the heavenlies, for he was an archangel over the mercy seat wherein and the approach unto the Lord. But you know the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. The Bible says, I am the door, and anyone else the thief and robber. Here they say, come by us to God. He and robbers, wolves in sheep clothing. Beautiful, beautiful Babylon, but full of every foul bird and every rotten act. The cup of iniquity is all but overflowing, and she will be destroyed and go down. There is your mystery. There is your mystery. How could it be so wonderful and still wrong? How could God curse Cain, that lovely brother, taking the first fruit offering, identifying himself with the resurrection, identifying himself with Christ in the resurrection, but he misdivided the word. Oh, they say, you're straining at an ant. No, I'm not straining at an ant. One word. Not straining at an ant. Who am I to stand up here and tell God what to say and what to think? Am I going to say, God, come on down, I got a controversy, I'm going to put you straight? Let's try and see what we get. What if he did come down to here, and what could you do with him? What if he appeared as a babe in the days of Herod,
will kill him.
No, you can't.
They couldn't do it then. He said, I can only take my, you can't take my life. I only give it when I want to give it. And I give it. Now that he gave it, he'll never be taken again. What would you do with God tonight? What would you do? Would you gallantly say, Lord, let me be a curse for those? Let me be an offering? There's been an offering granted. They turned it down. Why should they take you? What are you? Lord, help me stem that tide. How can you stem the tide? The die has been cast. Free for your life. Time to flee. Now, why aren't you fleeing from? You're fleeing into. Because it looks for an act. And it's all so sweet. Yeah. And you'll soon all be together. And it looks so wonderful. And you'll say, brethren, we're living in troublous times. Oh, what a blemish on us as people that we should let this earth that can produce so much not produce for us all and just take y'all in. It will be a new ticket. Let's love each other. See, while the love of God is filling the bride and closing every inlet to the soul to make you one with that word, that phony love of the Antichrist is filling everyone that's not in the bride. Or is so blind they can't see what's going on, because some that aren't bright are pretty astute. See? And that phony love in there is opening every channel to reasoning until they turn it down. And they walk into a trap. See? That call of seduction. Come on in. How beautiful. When the trap sprung, they're going to find like Eve, but that you can't have God in faith in God like you thought and still deny that word. Amen. The Lord bless you. I hope by these three messages it's been a help to you to see what the prophet taught. Not that I'm here to explain it and make you see any better than he could, but let's face it, he never had time to take one point and put 5 hours on it, or he'd still be here and for another 20 years. It's our job to do this. So I trust it's been a blessing to you. Next Wednesday night will be a service at 7:30. I won't be here for that service, but I'll be back next Sunday for the Sunday services, as I said that I would be. So may the Lord bless you, give you understanding, illuminate your heart, and make you see how important it is that we must give our whole lives to this word. There is nothing else to give it to you. Shall we rise and be dismissed? But before we sing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we bow our heads thanking you in gratitude that we don't believe, Lord, you've let us say one word that wasn't exactly right, but rather, Lord, in your grace by your Spirit, you've given us a greater realization than ever before to see, Lord, if that prophet of God could show us the mystery of godliness, Christ the Word, then you would give us the revelation of the mystery of ungodliness, of iniquity, which was the tampering with that word and then trying to stand in your place. Lord, surely we see that there is no other door but you, that word. We see there is no other gate. We see there's everything else, a thief and a robber. And we know, Lord, that no lie is going to prosper. No, sir. Oh, God, how we thank you for truth. Let our feet, Lord, be upon the solid rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. God, like David has cried, and all the great saints have cried, fill our hearts and our mouths. Write it, Lord, upon our hearts and upon our minds until we become that solid word of God revealed. Lord, tonight, just let this be our meat. We esteem it more than our necessary food. For, Lord, if it meant a matter of turning down everything for this word, then, Lord God, we're going to kick off our shoes and anything else necessary. Cast it to one side. Looking for you, Lord, to close us with this word, which is eternal life. For all things else perish, endow us with immortality, Lord, by the putting on the garments of immortality. Father, we believe your prophet came to call a bride, to teach the bride, and to dress the bride to get her ready. Father, we're wrapping ourselves in the robes of your righteousness by the word, looking hope upon hope to depart this old pest house, to be a part of the glorious convocation which is soon to come, to be one of those chosen stones of New Jerusalem. Lord, we're praying tonight for that end. Oh, God, I know, Lord, that we're in this place that neither light or dark yet. We're still standing around, as it were, in this twilight zone. But, Lord God, we know that there's going to come a day, hallelujah, when that's going to all break forth, and then it'll be all over, hallelujah. Every little wonderment we had will give way to perfect illumination because we stood with the Word. Oh, Father, help us all to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. We don't ask this, Lord, only for your honor and glory, although we're zealous of it. But, oh, God, we ask it for our own good, because it's perilous days, it's troublesome times. Lord, we're in a dangerous spot. Oh, God, we're at the crossing of the river. Help us, Christ. Help us to cross the river with you. We don't want any trouble, Lord, at that day. We want it just right. Father, we know you've heard us. We believe, Lord, somehow that we are the elect, that we are the apple of your eye, that we're in that brine. Somehow, Lord, it's got to be, because we're putting all of our trust in it. But anyway, why shouldn't we? For eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. How foolish would we be to turn aside. Oh, God, don't let anyone here be like an Esau or like a Cain. Identify us in the bloodstream of the children of Abraham through Jesus Christ our Lord, who hear this word and receive it, the same as Abraham did. Not even some Sarah laughing up her sleeve, but coming out of the tent, say, falling down, say, Lord, let it be. Even as your word said, make us all merries, Lord. Not doubting and wondering how it's going to be, let it be according to thy word. Father, there's a lot of things we don't understand, but let it be according to thy word. A lot of things we don't see, but let it be according to thy word. Hallelujah. God, keep us in the attitude of the prayer we're praying right now. And we know we're going to see the golden gates fly open. And above all, we're going to see him whom having not seen we love. And though yet now we see him not yet believe, and rejoice in him with joy and speaking full of glory. Unto him, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing that song. We'll walk in the light, brother Neil.